Today on Off Mic, we're just days away from the presidential election. Millions have already voted, but some will vote on Election Day. This election has caused a divide among Roman Catholic voters on who to support and what does it mean to be a devout Catholic. We speak to several Roman Catholics in Chicago and here in Northwest Indiana, including a former Roman Catholic priest who answers the question, can you be a devout Catholic and still support a pro-choice nominee like Joe Biden? All this on Off Mic. Welcome to Off Mic on Lakeshore Public Radio. I'm Michael Puente, reporter with WBEZ in Chicago. We are entering the final weekend before the November 3rd general election. According to election officials here in Lake County, Indiana, more than 100,000 people have took advantage of early voting. But there are still plenty of people left to vote and still thousands expected on Election Day. A large percentage of the electorate is the Catholic voter. The issue of Catholicism has come up in the campaign recently, first with the selection of Amy Coney Barrett to sit on the Supreme Court. President Trump named Barrett just last month, and earlier this week she was confirmed by the Senate and sworn in. She replaces the late Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Barrett has been described as a devout Catholic, but what does that mean? For some, it means a strict adherence to being against abortion. Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden is a practicing Roman Catholic, but his pro-choice stance on abortion is creating a divide with some Catholic voters who do not see him as devout. Earlier this month, and before Barrett's confirmation, I spoke to several Catholics in Chicago and Northwest Indiana to ask the question, what does devout mean to them? My first stop takes us to Holy Name Cathedral, the seat of the Chicago Archdiocese. There, I met with several Catholics following the 12:30 Sunday Mass. Despite Chicago being a very blue Democratic city, those who I spoke to that day, most were Trump supporters.
Trusting in God's mercy and abundant love, we raise our petitions.
For the Church, that we may be a fruitful garden, receiving, producing a harvest rich of justice, compassion, mercy, and forgiveness, we pray to the Lord. For public officials, may the Lord make his presence known to them as they carry out their duties. Let us pray to the Lord. For President Trump, his wife, and those struggling with COVID-19, that they would find healing and full recovery from their illness. Let us pray to the Lord.
Just in terms of the Supreme Court nominee, how important is it that she's Roman Catholic to you?
Well, I think it's great. I think we need to have more religion in our world and love among one another. And I think being Catholic is a benefit.
In terms of when you hear that term, say, devout Catholic, she's been described as devout. What does that mean to you?
What that means to me is that she's dedicated and committed and that she's trying to be a good person. I don't think that Catholics, I think Catholicism and Catholics sometimes get a bad rap, that we think we're perfect or, you know, we're better than other people, but I think that Catholics, if they're devout, it's a lifestyle to us and we're trying to be good people. So if she's a devout Catholic, I look up to her because she's trying to be a role model. Yes. She's trying to be a good role model.
And in terms of, do you feel, is this a good time for Catholics? And just in terms of, you're seeing a lot of things about Catholicism right now in the news, not just with her, but is it a good time? Is it a good time for Catholics?
Absolutely. Every time, every minute of the day is a good time for Catholicism, and I think more people need to come back to the church, whatever church it is of their preference, and pray a whole lot.
I'll add to that. I agree. And I think that now is a great time to be Catholic. I'll add to that, Kimberly, because now that we've weeded through some people that needed to leave the Catholic Church, we now have people that are in the church that are, that should be there. And what I mean by that is, like, every organization goes through adversity, and obviously the Catholic Church has gone through adversity in the last 2 years, but what's happened is that everyone who wanted to leave, they left. And the people that we want in the organization and the church is the people that are fighters, and they're here because they love and they believe in.
Right.
Believe in it. And that's the people you want.
Strong.
Strong will.
And faith.
Yeah, people that are strong in faith. Yeah.
Is this your home parish?
Yes, it is.
Holy Name Cathedral.
Yep.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Yes, absolutely.
In terms of the presidential candidates, have you made up your minds at all? Are you still on the bubble at all?
Oh, we are both.
There's no doubt.
There is no question. We're both for Trump.
Absolutely.
What is it about his message that resonates with you?
Against abortion, and strong in keeping our religions alive and our faith.
I think the fact that he's Bible-based and God-based is all I need to know, because he's going to make good decisions. He's going to make good decisions from the heart, and
yes,
that's important.
Yes, what's right for all of us, not just other political issues, trying to look good. He is a fighter.
How do you see Joe Biden? They say he is practicing Roman Catholic.
I wouldn't even know. I wouldn't even know that.
Yeah. I don't know anything about what his religion is or anything.
You know, he says he's Catholic, but they because of his stance on abortion, a lot of people say he's not a Catholic in good faith or good standing.
It's kind of logical.
Yeah, but definitely on Trump, on the Trump train.
Yeah, I love Trump. I love he's strong.
So we have to pray for Trump.
What do you say to Catholics, though,
absolutely,
who support Biden? Obviously, can you be a good Catholic and still support Biden? I mean, we're in a very polarizing time, obviously.
Some people think they probably are. We all have our difference of opinions. I don't think so. But to each his own.
What about you? Can you be a good Catholic and still support Biden?
That's a tricky question. I think that everyone has their own freedom of speech and freedom of religion and freedom of choice. And I think that if you're a true Catholic, you're trying to be a good person, because Catholicism is the deepest, it's the most disciplined of all faith. It involves the most rules. Obviously, the commandments are rules, but they're rules to help you live a peaceful life. To be a good person. So I think a true Catholic will choose based on their own beliefs, and maybe they see things in Biden. I think it's great that people can see the good in him. So I do think that it's possible.
What do you say to people who say Trump, you know, makes fun of people, he insults people, he's abrasive,
he's human.
Policies with...
Well, every human has their downsides, but I've never seen a president do so much good for our country,
right,
and especially with religion, and that's important.
Freedom of religion, we had the best economy ever, we are not going to be slaves to foreign entities. I think it's strong that, you know, America's first. Just like your own family. Like, say, if you have your children, you're going to feed your children first before you're going to go feed your neighbor's children. It's up to him, I believe, to take care of America first in the best way that he can. And then he's human to all people.
What's your name?
Kimberly Starr.
I'm Michelle Sotak.
And this is your home parish, Holy Name Cathedral. How long have you been, both of you, how long have you been going here?
25 years.
25 years, wow. When you do talk, and I don't know if you do, if you talk politics with friends or family, and I don't know if they're Catholic, but among those who are Catholic, do you find that there is more support for Trump than Biden?
Absolutely. My sister, full force, Trump, and she's one of the first first responders in Las Vegas right now, and she says that the veterans are getting more insurance money because of Trump, whereas before they weren't. It was very hard to get them aid and help the veterans, and I truly believe in helping the veterans who built our country, help protect our country, and for the police that protect it every single day. And she was married to a policeman.
Wow.
Do you, is there any divisiveness among friends or family who might be Catholic because of or such a polarizing time right now?
There's some division. I mean, indecisiveness, but
different people.
Yeah, and I respect everyone's opinion.
Have you made up your mind in terms of which candidate you might vote for in the election?
No, I'm still pending.
Excuse me?
I'm still pending.
Still pending?
Yes.
You're unsure?
Yes.
What is it about Joe Biden is supposed to be a practicing Catholic. Do you feel that he may be a Catholic?
No, I don't. You know, definitely not.
Is it because of his stance on abortion?
Yes.
You can't. You feel that as a Catholic, you should not hold that.
Exactly. No one should. If you're a Catholic, you don't believe in abortion.
What is your thoughts on President Trump?
I think he's quite terrific. I think he gets carried away. And he's got to control that. But I think as far as his last serving, he's done a tremendous job. Our stock is up. Everything is wonderful. He's a very good businessman.
But you are still undecided at this point.
I'm borderline, yeah.
Borderline.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm waiting to see the next debate.
How do you feel that the nominee for the Supreme Court is a Roman Catholic? From Notre Dame.
Yes. My husband graduated from Notre Dame. So that's the end of the conversation.
You were about to say you think it's wonderful.
Yes, it's absolutely wonderful, and I'm praying that she gets in. Yeah.
Right. What's your name?
Alice.
What's your last name, Alice?
Well, my maiden name's O'Connor, and my married name is Heitkamp.
What are your thoughts in terms of, as we're heading into this election in about a month, have you made up your mind who you're voting for?
Trump.
What is it about Donald Trump that you like?
He does stuff that he says he's going to do.
What is it about Biden that you do not like?
I don't like his family. I don't like him. I don't like anything that he stands for. He's a liar and a cheat.
What about his stance on abortion as well?
That's not good as far as I'm concerned, but there's more to it than just that. It's the economy, it's foreign policy, all of that stuff, and I disagree with him about everything.
Well, suffice to say, you are not undecided.
That's for sure.
What do you think about the Supreme Court nominee? She's also Roman Catholic.
She's terrific. She's great. She's staunch. She believes in the Constitution. She believes in the law.
Is it important to you to have Catholics on the Supreme Court?
No.
It just happens she's Catholic.
Well, that she happens to be Catholic, but that ain't the real reason she should be there. She's a good jurist. She's a fine legal mind. That's why she should be there.
What's your name, sir?
George.
George what?
George Heitkamp.
Heitkamp?
Heitkamp.
Is this your regular church?
Yes, it is.
It's beautiful.
It is indeed.
How long have you been coming here?
Well, this last time we've been coming here for 17 years. Prior to that, we were parishioners here for six in the 70s.
And your mind is definitely made up for this election.
No shit.
I can't say that.
Well, go ahead and say it anyway. We don't care. Bleep it out.
When we return to Off Mic, we hear from Northwest Indiana Voices on the issue of Catholicism and the presidential vote and what it means to be devout. Welcome back to Off Mic on Lakeshore Public Radio. I'm Michael Puente. We are just a few days away from the November 3rd general election. Earlier in today's show, you heard from voices from Roman Catholics who say they support President Trump because of his pro-life stance and what it means to be a devout Catholic. Recently, I spoke to Juan Carlos Hernandez, a native of Mexico who has been a longtime parishioner at St. Margaret Mary Church in Hammond in the Gary Catholic Diocese. That's where I met to speak with him about what it means to be a devout Catholic and his thoughts about Amy Coney Barrett to the Supreme Court. This was recorded before she was confirmed.
Juan Carlos Hernandez. I live in East Chicago, Indiana. This is St. Margaret Mary Church. This is, really, it is my home church. It's been my home church for a big part of my life. I mean, my family's been a part of this congregation for decades.
You know, there's been Catholicism has been in the news a lot lately. There's been a lot of discussion. The term devout Catholic has been used a lot. Well, I mean, when you hear that term, what does it mean to you?
Well, devout, I guess the way I see it or I interpret that term is somebody that's goes to Mass regularly, and not just regularly, but probably daily Mass sometimes, has some kind of prayer practice or a prayer group that's part of their lives. But I mean, that can vary from individual to individual, right? Devout, I think, is a very loose term because, you know, there's a wide spectrum of what people might practice as a Catholic. Some people might like doing the rosary. Some people might not. Some people might like to do a perpetual adoration. Some others not. Some people might like just to read the Bible and meet with a small group of people to pray. I think it varies from individual to individual and family to family.
Are there people that you look to would describe as being devout Catholics?
Yeah, certainly. Friends of the family, they're actually almost like aunts and uncles to me. They live out their faith in a way that you can see. One person from this congregation here specifically, her and her husband, her especially, when my mom was very ill and near the end of her life, she was always there. She was cooking for us. She was praying with us. She was praying for us. She showed up. You know, she made her faith real by helping us in a time of great difficulty. She would call us. She would check on us. If she couldn't be with us, she would join us through the phone to pray. She was an amazing person. That's one of the reasons why I love this church, this congregation specifically, and her so much. She was her and her husband were amazing to us, as were so many other people in this church. They gave of themselves so much during very hard times, and they've, as you've witnessed here when I came into the church, they know me. They know who I am.
Yeah, by the way, what do you do for a living?
Well, I guess I'm a program coordinator for a nonprofit. It's an immigration program coordinator. I coordinate the work between congregations and their work on immigration justice. I work with Jewish folks, Christian folks, and some Muslim folks working on how to work for justice, advocate for just laws for immigrants in Chicago and the region.
Right now, Amy Coney Barrett is the President Trump's nominee to be on the Supreme Court. She's considered, people have described her as a devout Catholic. As a Catholic, is there a sense of pride that a fellow Catholic might make it to the Supreme Court? Or how's your feeling when you hear about her?
Well, I think, first of all, I think of her as being a very intelligent woman. She is a professor, right, at Notre Dame. She's obviously worked hard to get to where she is. So there is the sense of admiration for that. However, I do always, even if somebody calls themselves Catholic or whatever they call themselves, I ask, how do they live that out? She's lived that out by being very much through her family, right? And being against abortion as well, right? She's known for that, for those stances. But for me also, I in my own view of things, I refer to Cardinal Bernardine from Chicago, who was, I guess he was cardinal during, what, 80s, part of the 90s. Mm-hmm. It's this consistent ethic of life. If you're against abortion, then you're also for the lives of immigrants, for the lives of people who are in prison and leaving prison, for just laws and creating a just fabric in society for everyone, you know, making sure that every life is valued. And her own views on labor law or voting in favor of workers or not voting, but deciding in favor of workers during certain cases, those don't seem to jive with me too much, you know, from what I've read and understood about her. That's my opinion.
You know, as somebody who's considered a devout Catholic and her seemingly anti-abortion stance, mm-hmm. I'm not sure if you're a Trump supporter or not, but would that be enough for you to consider voting for Trump?
Well, every vote is secret, right? But but for me, again, I think this is completely my opinion. I think that I would challenge Catholics to demand more of the president if they see that he agrees with them on their abortion stance, then demand more of help and support and justice for immigrants and for others and for Black folks, right? And for people of color. Standing right on one issue does not, I think, preclude you from doing what is right for all other issues and for Catholics, fellow Catholics, to demand that of him. I think it's right if people in power, for example, a Supreme Court justice is there, she would have his ear or at least in some way could influence his thinking. As could other Catholics in those positions of power. That's what I would hope would happen. I don't see that happen, and me personally, from what I read on social media, I see a divide between white Catholics and Catholics who are of color, who actually come to a congregation such as this that with a large immigrant population whose lives are affected by immigration policy and other issues that affect people who don't have a lot of power or a lot of money.
Joe Biden. Well, how do you see him as a candidate or even either as a Catholic candidate or just as a candidate just in general?
Honestly, I don't think either candidates respond to a lot of the needs of people like me or like people in this congregation. Not much talk about policy, as we witnessed in the debate. There's a lot of fighting, but not a talk about like healthcare or providing jobs for people who need them, or some other type of support, or better responses to COVID-19. It becomes about these social issues, but not what most people need. I mean, we're living in through a pandemic. And with people out of work, people needing healthcare, immigrants needing a better response, and I don't think we're getting any of that from either candidate. Mm-hmm. We're not, actually. Mm-hmm. We're really not. And I wish we would, and I think both candidates should earn our vote. And I think it takes more than just the issue of abortion to earn somebody's vote. You know, I think you need to respond to the greater needs. If you want to reduce abortion, then also work for reducing poverty, right? Providing people with what they need.
And that was Juan Carlos Hernandez. Up next is Damian Rico, a lifelong Catholic in Northwest Indiana.
Damian Rico. I'm the marketing director at Hospice of the Calumet Area.
When you hear that term devout, what does that entail to you?
Well, you know, Mike, the funny thing is, I looked it up in the dictionary what devout actually meant, and it's showing that devoted to a religion or religious feelings, pious, somebody that's fearful of God. And I think that devout Catholic is used right now extensively, right? You know, so I think they're throwing it out there. But to me, I feel like that term is in folks, in their hearts, and not in their minds so much, or not in their tongues. You know, if you're a devout Catholic, if you're trying to follow Christ, you're just doing it. You're not saying it. And I think that's probably what blurs the lines a little bit, you know, saying, you know, who's a devout Catholic and who's not a devout Catholic.
You know, how are Catholics feeling right now? Because we do, you know, there's a lot of Catholics in the news with everything from the Supreme Court justice finalist to just, you know, Catholics in this whole political season. Is this a good time right now to be so-called Catholic?
I think, to be honest with you, it's always a good time to be a Catholic because, you know, it's something that's near and dear to our hearts, and it's a religion I grew up in. The education that I received from a Catholic school and going to church and being born, it's the whole foundation of my values. And I have to thank my parents for that because they instilled that. But the most important thing that they taught me was to lead by example, not so much to... And I think sometimes we suffer this way because we don't speak the word of Christ as much, or we don't quote the Bible as much, but we do try to lead by example. And I think anybody that is a Christian should be doing that as well, right? So, you know, it's not what we say, it's how we act and how we behave that people see and what they remember.
You know, just like every other segment of society, we're kind of polarized now by a lot of different things influencing our actions. Are Catholics divided right now because the country is divided because of politics?
Well, I think it stems from not just Catholics, but I think the country in general is divided. And I think that is probably the most painful thing for me personally, because I think we don't have to be this way. The one great thing about our country is the diversity here, and celebrating that, not chastising it, right? So, you know, I grew up in East Chicago, Mike, and I didn't know what racism was. I mean, we've had Greeks, we had Puerto Ricans, we had Mexicans, you know, Polish people, Serbian people. That was just on our block. So, you know, we didn't really know what racism was, and the systemic racism that's going on now. We didn't experience that because we were fortunate to be in a melting pot.
Does it bother you that at this time there is a division in the Catholic Church that so many Catholics support Donald Trump for president?
I think more than anything, it's hurtful, Mike, because I've always been a person that respects leaders. You know, and I've respected so many leaders and so many presidents that have come before him that, you know, I might not have agreed with them philosophically, you know, but I knew they had the best interest of the country at hand. And I knew that they were professional and that they were sincere. And even through their mistakes or the greatness that they've provided, they've contributed something to society. And I struggle with that because this current president, his contributions have been horrendous. They've been divisive. The way he's talked about people that don't agree with him, the name calling, the stereotypes, you know, right from the beginning, you know, from his campaign, calling Mexican Americans rapists. And, you know, that's hurtful, you know, that, and, you know, although I hope that he doesn't mean that, but just saying that, you know, it makes people laugh. It's like people aren't, things that come out of his mouth aren't even, nobody's even shocked anymore. And I think that's hurtful to our country. You know, the systemic racism that we have in our country, it's real. And I feel bad for folks. You know, I had a conversation with a kid on my block. Our neighbors gave us a swing set. And I had called her and I told her, I said, hey, if you don't mind, just put it in your backyard and I will pick it up after baseball practice. It was at 8:30 at night. So I'm carrying this thing down the road myself. Cause it's not heavy, it's just awkward. Well, he's walking around, he's a black kid. And he says, "Hey, Mr. Rico, you need some help?" And I said, "Sure." So him and I had a conversation, we walked, and he says, "You know, Mr. Rico," he says, nobody's going to say nothing to you if they see you walking around with this on your walking down the block. He said, "But I guarantee if I was doing it by myself, somebody would call the cops on me." And that was really painful to me because, you know what, he was right. And he wasn't saying it in a mean or a mad way. He was making a matter of fact, and he was exactly right. And I went home that night, and I told my wife, I said, "You know what? This kid taught me a huge lesson today." And I said, "It's a very painful lesson." And, you know, and she was very in shock. And I thought to myself, like, it's not right. You know, we've got to do what we can to stand up for what's right in this world.
But what do you say to those Catholics who the one main issue is abortion? They say that if you support Joe Biden, who is a pro-choice candidate, that you're not a devout or you're not following the teachings of the church.
It's hard to say anything to somebody that is that extreme, Mike, to be honest with you. It's like telling one of these pro-Trumpers that, you know, trying to show them that that might not be the way, in the extremist way. You can have as many conversations as you can with them, but it's just not going to resonate. Just any extreme group, right? So the best thing I think you could do is lead by example and surround yourself with good people that have humility and the ability to serve others. And that's contagious.
Do you view Joe Biden as a good Catholic?
I do. And I do because he is a man of humility. And I've seen him in action. I was very impressed the other day, not so much at the debate or with the debate, but there was one point that stuck out to me, Mike, and when the president had talked to Joe Biden about his son and about his cocaine issue and how he really tried to demoralize him. And Joe Biden said, "My son has had his issues, and I'm very proud of him at the progress that he's made." He spoke very genuinely and very humble, because which of us do not have those kind of issues? Mm-hmm. You know, we're here to serve. I mean, that's why we have our faith.
That was Damian Rico with his thoughts on the ongoing debate Catholics are having in this presidential race. Our third and final voice in this segment is Nelda Rivera, a lifelong Roman Catholic in Northwest Indiana, and what it means to be devout.
Nelda Rivera.
What do you do, Nelda?
I'm a retail manager.
So when you hear the term devout Catholic, what do you think?
I think of my grandmother.
Why?
Because it's kind of an old-fashioned idea, this devout or this devotion. I think Catholicism has evolved, and people who practice it don't actually follow everything that we've been taught.
Like what?
One, divorce. Two, abortion. Three, going to church every Sunday.
Do you think you can be a so quote-unquote good Catholic and not adhere to those teachings?
Absolutely.
Why do you think that? Welcome back to Off Mic on Lakeshore Public Radio. I'm Michael Puente. In this episode, we've been talking about the upcoming election and the deep divide among Catholics on which candidate to choose for president. Our next conversation is with Christopher Cox. Chris is a former Roman Catholic priest who once served as pastor at St. Aldebert Church in South Bend.
Christopher Cox, I served in ministry as a priest for 16 years.
And how long ago did you get out being a priest?
January of 2016, Pope Francis granted my request for a dispensation.
And right now you live in Milwaukee, the Milwaukee area?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You're still a practicing Catholic.
I am still a practicing Catholic. I'm on the parish council at my parish. I am at my heart, first and foremost, a Catholic and a person who, as a consequence of that faith, seeks to build a more just and sustainable world.
right now, as being a Catholic, is this a good time for being a Catholic? I mean, there's a Catholic, practicing Roman Catholic, who's the president's Supreme Court nominee. And it seemingly it should be a one of pride that somebody from your alma mater is a finalist for that. Well, not a finalist, is the nominee.
Yeah. Well, there are a lot of things that make this an exciting time to be a Catholic. Pope Francis is a tremendous witness to our faith. Tomorrow he's going to release a new encyclical letter about our relationship as human beings one to another. The kind of emphasis he's placed on human dignity throughout, and the poor and those on the margins and care for creation are exceptional. Both in terms of his words, in terms of his example, there's a lot to make one very excited. And in our own society, here in the United States, there are a lot of Catholics in positions of great trust in society. And that's an exciting thing to see people who share my faith. I guess the other thing I would add is that those people can have very different ideologies and still be joined in the same faith,
Right. Right.
The Vice President Biden and Amy Barrett Coney can have very different political convictions or very different kinds of things around, say, judicial philosophy or the like, and yet still be joined in one faith.
Well, there's a lot of discussion out there right now. Can you be a Catholic in good faith or in good standing if you're one of who is pro-choice, like Joe Biden is?
Put it this way. The Catholic Church has never taught that it is a sin to vote for a Democrat. And for anyone who's been told that, that's simply just not true. The starting point for a Catholic on these things has got to be, what Cardinal Bernardine would have called a seamless garment. The dignity and respect for life from womb to tomb. And so those are kinds of values that are important for any Catholic to hold. Beyond that, there are also things with respect to particular policies that have to do with what will help promote the sort of values that we hold. And sometimes our friends on the conservative side will often talk about prudence as being grounds for dissenting from other kinds of things that people on my side might think to be more important. For instance, that providing health care for all as a right might not be a prudent thing, and therefore they propose a market kind of solution on those things. To kind of bring it to the question of abortion in particular, for many years, the conservative side has been calling for a conservative majority on the Supreme Court so as to be able to reverse Roe v. Wade, right? I'm 50 years old. I was born in 1970. And believe it or not, since the day I was born, there have been a majority of Republican-appointed, nominated members of the Supreme Court for 49 of those 50 years. The only year that was not the case was 2016 with the death of Justice Scalia, and that it was a 4-4 tie. So in other words, in my entire lifetime, there has never been a Democrat majority on the Supreme Court. It's always favored toward that side. And a friend of mine sometimes puts it this way, to say that to sell the idea that you've got to vote for a Republican so that Roe v. Wade will be reversed is a lot like Charlie Brown being told by Lucy that putting the football down this time, I'm going to hold it in place and we'll kick it through the uprights. Republicans in power have been remarkably good at realizing their top priorities, cutting taxes for corporations and the wealthy, increasing military spending, cutting food stamps and other safety net programs, eliminating limits on election spending by corporations, gutting environmental protection laws, maintaining a preferential option for nationalism over refugees and immigrants, supporting the easy availability of assault weapons, keeping health care largely a private and for-profit industry, green-lighting the Contras, the Iraq War, torture, the death penalty, a host of other policies that run counter to Catholic social teaching. On ending abortion, however, arguably their main selling point to Catholic voters, they have been strangely ineffectual. We passed how many tax cuts in my lifetime? And yet a Republican majority has not been able to accomplish meaningful changes in the kinds of things that they keep putting forth. Elect us this one more time, and we'll get this for you. And, you know, there's dispute and debate about the numbers, but it at least appears to be true that when Democrats are in office, the number of abortions go down at a more significant pace than during Republican administrations. So that, you know, I'm a pro-life Catholic. I care deeply about, you know, questions like abortion, but I also care about climate. I care about how the COVID pandemic is being attended to. I care about issues of racial justice. I care about immigration and the care of refugees. I care about issues of gender and class in this country. And, you know, that when I try and look at the whole thing there, there may be ways that one will be uncomfortable with any given political party, but it just becomes apparent to me which direction I need to vote in this election. You know, that I can't not vote for Joe Biden in this instance. As a Catholic, I choose Biden because Biden chooses the values of our faith.
But would you agree, I mean, much like the rest of the country, Catholics seem to be, well, obviously deeply divided and polarized by, you know, are the politics of the time.
Oh, I lament that both the country and the Catholic Church are terribly polarized, terribly divided. And I think sometimes our social media consumption only enhances that and exacerbates that, makes it worse.
And that was Christopher Cox, a former Roman Catholic priest, on the presidential election. And that is all the time we have for in this episode. I'd like to thank my guests and producers, Tommy Maloney, Jose Rodriguez, and Dee Dotson, and my student intern from Calumet College of St. Joseph, Emily Gomez. You can hear this episode as a podcast by visiting lakeshorepublicradio.org. For me, Michael Puente, have a great weekend, and don't forget to vote.